This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala al-mabuthi rahmatin lil alamin nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim ma ba'd. Al-yawm 23 min shahri Safar 1445 al-muwafiq li 9 من شهر سبتمبر 2023 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك بلوغ المرام صلى الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So today inshallah we continue from where we stopped last class, I think 2 weeks ago. And if I'm not mistaken, we're supposed to start from a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sa'ab ibn Jathama. قَالَ سُئِلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَنْ أَهْلِ الدَّارِ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ يُبَيَّتُونَ فَيُصِيبُونَ مِنْ نِسَائِهِمْ وَذَرَارِيهِمْ فَقَالَهُمْ مِنْهُمْ. This hadith mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked about people in the house, yubayyatun, meaning they were attacked at night. Let's say a Muslim, they are fighting an enemy, so they attack people at night. And this is their own territories. وَفِيهِمُ النِّسَاءُ. So they will affect also the sisters and the children. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they are also part of them. So, يقول الإمام الصنعاني وهذا الحديث أخرجه ابن حبان من حديث صعب بن جسامة وزاد ثم نهى عنهم يوم حنين وهي مدرجة في حديث الصعب وفي سنن أبي داود زيادة في آخره قال سفيان قال الزهري ثم نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد ذلك أن قتل النساء والصبيان. So there is a narration that added that was in the beginning of Islam, but then afterwards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam make it prohibited for sisters to be killed during the battles and children also to be killed during the battles. Even if you find them at the battlefield and you know that these ones are not from the Muslims, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said they shouldn't be killed. قال ويؤيد أن النهي في حنين. So that happened in the battle of Hunain. He says ويؤيد أن النهي في حنين ما في البخاري. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأحدهم الحق خالدا فقل له لا تقتل ذرية ولا عصيفها. وأول مشاهد خالد معه غزوة حنين. And what supported the prohibition also, prohibition of killing sisters and kids, is that the fact that in the battle of Hunayn, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent somebody and told him, please go very quickly and meet Khalid and tell him, you are not allowed to kill sisters and you're not allowed to kill dhurriyatan, children, wala asifan, and slaves. Asif is ajir, somebody who is hired by another person to do something, but here most likely the reference is to the ajir, to the slave, because slaves usually they will be in the battlefield because they are forced to go. They have no choice. They agree, they don't agree, they just have to participate in it. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said those innocent, in general, innocent people shouldn't be killed. That's why in Islam, not only the sisters, children, even the monks, because they are just in their places of worship, worshiping whatever they believe in. And the old people, because old people don't go for the battles. You get it? Children, old people, and sick people. Yeah. Anyone who is not capable of participating, Muslims are supposed to stay away from him. So basically they are fighting who? Who fights them? Okay? They are fighting the fighters. وَأَوَّلُ مَشَاهِدِ خَالِدٍ مَعْهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَمَ غَزْوَةُ حُنَيْنِ. And the first battle attended by Khalid with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Hunayn. كَذَا قِيلَ وَلَا يَخْفَى أَنَّهُ قَدْ شَهِدَ مَعْهُ فَاتْحَ مَكَّةَ قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ. So he says this is what some scholars have mentioned, but Ibn Hajar said this has some issues in it because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because Khalid. Because Khalid bin al-Walid, he also participated in a battle before Hunayn. Although they are almost connected to each other, but still these are two different battles. Fathu Makkah كانت قبل Hunayn. They conquered Makkah and then they moved to another place. They conquered Makkah first and then they moved to another place. So ولا يخفى, so Ibn Hajar said, this has some issues, I mean with it. Because Fathu Makkah was before the Hunayn, and Khalid bin al-Walid attended the Fathu Makkah. You remember the Prophet sallallahu alaihi grouped people into several groups. One of those groups is the group of Khalid, a group led by Khalid radiallahu anhu. You get it? So that means he went also to a battle before the Hunayn. So we get according to what Lamir Sanani is saying, that the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the people that were in the house, yubayyatun, and they were attacked by the Muslims to be killed, all of them. I mean, it's okay for the Muslim to fight and get rid of everyone in the place. That was at the beginning of Islam. But later on, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it prohibited for sisters to be affected or children to be affected. قال وأخرج الطبراني في الأوسط من حديث ابن عمر قال لما دخل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مكة أتي بمرأة مقتولة فقال ما كانت هذه تقاتل ونهى عن قتل النساء. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم when he finished with دخل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مكة when he get inside Makkah, okay, he managed to get into Makkah during the Fatwa Makkah. وجد أتي من مرأة مقتولة, and they brought a sister who was killed, a dead woman. فقال ما كانت هذه تقاتل. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says this has never been to this place to fight anyone. ما كانت هذه تقاتل is one has is not here to fight anyone. ونهى عن قتل النساء, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told them it is haram for you to kill sisters. نهى عن قتل النساء, he made it prohibited for sisters to be affected in the battles. I mean, all of these things, you know, subhanAllah, the enemies are not looking for this. Those Orientalists and those people who are talking against Islam nowadays, they are not for these things, you know. Otherwise, these are more than enough to show to them that only Islam respects sisters and children and humanity actually in general. Yeah, when they go, they attack a place which in subhanAllah, and in most instances, they send aghbiya, iwallah. They send aghbiya. Aghbiya means prodigals, useless, drunkards amongst people, to go and attack a place and just bump everyone. Yeah, we have seen in many Muslim countries, you know, Afghanistan, Iraq, and many places, you know, people just go and bump everyone. And who is badly affected? The sisters and the children, and the weak people. These are the people who are badly. And they know this. But in Islam, one person that was killed, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed his face. You know, was very angry. And he told them, this one, no, never come to this place to fight. And he told them not to kill the sisters, even if he find them in the battlefield. They are supporting who? They're supporting their people. Right? They come to support their people. But still the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said they shouldn't be killed. The scholar said, except when she fights. Yeah, when she holds the weapons and she starts shooting the Muslims, then the Muslims also has to get rid of her. She becomes also one of those people that involved in the conflict. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma kanat hadhihi tuqatilu wa naha an qatl an-nisa." Wa qad ikhtalafa al-ulama'u fi hadha, fa dhahaba ash-Shafi'i wa Abu Hanifah wal jumhur ila jawaz qatl an-nisa'i was-sibyan fi al-bayan fi al-bayan 'amalan bi riwayat sahihayn وقوله هم منهم في البنيان. I think it's في البنيان not في البيان. قال وهم منهم أي في إباحة القتل تبعا لا قصدا إذا لم يمكن انفصالهم عمن يستحق القتل. So he says this is a controversial matter among the scholars, and you have the vast majority of the scholars, the Shafi'iyya, the Hanafiyya, you know, Imam Shafi and Imam Abu Hanifa, wal jumhur, and the vast majority of the scholars, they all believe that it is permissible for their sisters and the kids also to be affected if they are in the building which is attacked by the Muslims, and there is no way to separate between them and the criminals. Meaning the criminals, they make them as a turs. You know, a turs? Turs is a shield. Yeah. They put them as a shield. Yeah. So they know that Muslims are not going to touch sisters, so they put sisters as shield. And they are really criminals. Leaving them is dangerous to the humanity. So majority of the scholars said the place could be attacked even if those innocent people are affected. We try first to separate between them to make sure that those ones are not affected. You make a difference, you know, you take them out if possible. But if it is not possible, then they have to go. So they are just part of them. You just take them as one entity. So you can see, you cannot target them. You cannot make them as a target. But if you attack a place where you couldn't get the criminal, and you are sure that if you attack the whole place, the criminal will be affected. You have to be sure. If you're not sure whether you get the criminal or not, then we go with the general principle, which is not to kill a sister or a child. You get the idea. But if there is no way for you to get rid of them, except if you attacked everyone, and you are sure that if you do that, they will be affected, and you will get rid of them, then the majority of the scholars said it is okay, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla. It has problems. Ramadani, this one has problems. So I have to shout it. So majority of the scholars said it is okay for the Muslim army to attack the place, although there are some who are innocent in the place. وَذَهَبَ مَالِكٌ وَالْأَوْزَاعِيُّ إِلَىٰ أَنَّهُ لَا يَجُوزُ قَتْلُ النِّسَاءِ وَالصِّبْيَانِ بِحَالٍ حَتَّى إِذَا تَتَرَّسَ أَهْلُ الْحَرْبِ بِالنِّسَاءِ وَالصِّبْيَانِ أَوْ تَحَصَّنُوا بِحِصْنٍ أَوْ سَفِينَةٍ هُمَا فِيهِمَا مَعَهُمْ لَمْ يَجُزْ قِتَالُهُمْ وَلَا تَحْرِيقُهُمْ. Imam Malik and Imam al-Awza'i, they believe that no matter what, sisters cannot be killed.
That they are innocent. Even if the fighters make them as a shield,
they shouldn't be killed in the first place. Yeah, they said even if they are in one ship and you need to attack the ship, you don't do because of those children. You don't do because of the sisters who are with them. وذهب الهادوية إلى أنهم إلى أنهم قالوا في التترس يجوز قتل النساء والصبيان حيث جعلوا ترسا ولا يجوز إذا تترسوا بالمسلمين مع خشية الاستئصال. ونقل ابن بطال وغيره اتفاق الجميع على عدم جواز القصد إلى قتل النساء والصبيان للنهي. So you have some other scholars who believe that if there are Muslimin, then we don't attack. And because this مسألة تترس, they call it, the issue of تترس. تترس means making somebody as a shield. So it's an issue that was discussed by the scholars, and usually they're discussing this if enemies تترسوا بالمسلمين. They put Muslimin to protect them as a shield. Yeah, and sometimes this is naturally happening. you have the Muslims attacking the enemy's country, but unfortunately, between the enemies and the Muslim, there is a village that belongs to the Muslimin. And if you were to shoot from that distance to the city of the enemies, you will affect the Muslims. So what to do in this case? Yeah. So you have many scholars who said no. Because of those Muslims, we have to just keep looking for other ways. Even if we don't find, we just remain like that. And some scholars said no. Removing that enemy, that evil from existence is more important than keeping those Muslims. Because if they are to be affected, we hope they will have the shahada, they will go to Jannah, they will go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are some scholars who believe that whoever, whether he is an enemy or he is a Muslim that is in that place, you know, we ask them to leave the place. But if the kuffar make them, you know, the enemies, they make them as hostage, you know, they couldn't leave the place. Many scholars said they could be attacked, and he completes it without making any segregation. Yeah, they look into the issue. They said keeping them is mafsada, that is greater than the maslaha of keeping those Muslims. Having those evil is mafsada, because if they exist, who knows, tomorrow also they will come and attack those small village and kill them. So their evil is quite big in a way. We are not supposed to give them a chance, even if they are having Muslims between them as a shield. So you have heard that majority of the scholars believe that it is okay, but Ibn Battal said all of them believe that it is not permissible to target a particular sister or sisters in general. It is not permissible. That's your target when you are bombing the place is the woman in the place or the children.
I think that this is impermissible. The only disagreement happens is when they cannot separate between the kids and the sisters of the kids and those enemies. They cannot make a barrier between the two.
According to what is mentioned in this hadith. Some scholars said no. Since those innocent people exist in the place, then you are not allowed to attack them. You have to keep trying your best to see how to drag them out of the place, and then you can attack. So this issue is the issue of what? The issue of ijtihad of the imam. In these matters, you leave it to the imam, the president, the prime minister, king, whoever is in charge of the army in the place, he's the one who will give the permission. If you go to the place, you know, do this or do that. Yeah, he's the one who has the right to give permission. If he takes this hadith, it's okay. Or he takes the other hadith, it's okay. Looking at the maslaha. But he has to think about the maslaha. Which one is more appropriate to preserve the honor and the security of the Muslim territories? Yeah, then he goes with that. If he sees that giving them respite is okay, he can just ask the Muslims to come back home. If he sees that going ahead, the army should just go ahead and keep fighting, he can just let them go. وَعَنْ عَائِشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ لِرَجُلٍ تَبِعَهُ فِي يَوْمِ بَدْرٍ اِرْجِعْ فَلَنْ نَسْتَعِينَ بِمُشْرِكِينَ. It's a very important hadith. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم informed us in it. Written by Aisha radiallahu anha, rawahu Muslim, that the Prophet ﷺ told somebody who followed him in one of the battles, this is the battle of Badr, one of the mushrikeen, he loves to support Muslimin. He doesn't accept Islam, but he wants to support. Okay? He loved to support the Muslimin at that time. And because nobody likes injustice, you know, Makkah is full of injustice and atrocities. He's also one of the people who will not like injustice. Nobody liked it, except those people who are doing it. So he wanted to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "Inna lan nasta'ina bi mushrikin." So this hadith is narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha. قالت خرج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قبل بدر فلما كان بحرة الوبرة أدركه رجل قد كان تذكر فيه جرأة ونجدة. ففرح أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حين رأوه، فلما أدركه قال لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: جئت لأتبعك وأصيب معك. قال: أتؤمن بالله؟ قال: لا. قال: فرجع فلن أستعين بمشرك. فلما أسلم أذن له. سبحان الله. الأمير السنعاني said the full version of the hadith is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he went out qibla badrin, you know, towards the Badr, فلما كان بحرّة الوبرة, when he reached a place which is called حرّة الوبرة, is a place they say it's about 4 miles from Medina. Between the place and Medina is about 4 miles. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is at that place, أدركه رجل قد كانت تذكر له جرعة ونجدة. You know, somebody followed him. I made a mistake when I said he's from Makkah. He's from the people of Medina, or somebody who is living around that area. But he is known to have courage. He was brave. You know, everyone talks about his skills in fighting. You know, so he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the companions saw him, they were so happy. You know, حِينَ رَأَوْا. When they saw him, they were so happy. حِينَ رَأَوْا. When they saw him, فَلَمَّا أَدْرَكَهُ. When he reached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قَالَ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He said, "Ya Rasul Allah." He told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "جِئْتُ لِأَتَّبِعَكَ وَأُصِيبَ مَعَكَ." He says, "I'm here to follow you not in Islam, but to follow in the battle, so that I can also benefit in the way. You will also gain benefit." قَالَ أَتُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do you believe in Allah?" قَالَ لَا. He said, "No." قَالَ فَرْجَعْ فَلَنْ أَسْتَعِينَ بِمُشْرِكِينَ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, "Do you believe in Allah?" قَالَ لَا. قَالَ ارْجَعْ فَلَنْ أَسْتَعِينَ بِمُشْرِكِينَ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "Go back, because I will not take help from the mushrikeen." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Irji' falan astaina bil mushrik." You have to go back because I will not take help from the mushrik. Qala farja falan astaina bil mushrikin falamma aslama adhina lahu. So he went back. He did not follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Later on, he accepted Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "Okay, now you can join us." Yeah. It's Ummat al-Islam, Ummah Aziza. The Muslim nation, they are Ummah Aziza. You know, if you look at the history of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the battles of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will understand that yes, definitely this Ummah doesn't need to seek the help of anyone who is not part of us. You Allah, if we're doing the correct thing, we don't need to seek the help and the support of anyone. But unfortunately, we are not. That's why from time to time, we ask others to come and help us. And these people who are helping us, they are the real enemy of ours. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, وَدُّوا مَا عَنِدْتُمْ قَدْ بَدَتِ الْبَغْضَاءُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَمَا تُخْفِي صُدُورُهُمْ أَكْبَرُ. Whatever they are doing, you know, the vast majority of their thought is to make sure that they put you into difficulty. Yeah, this is what they're thinking about, to make sure that they get you in a state of difficulty. وَدُّوا مَا عَنِدْتُمْ قَدْ بَدَتِ الْبَغْضَاءُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَمَا تُخْفِي صُدُورُهُمْ أَكْبَرُ. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna ummatun," he says, "لَنْ أَسْتَعِينَ بِمُشْرِكٍ," I will never seek the support and the help of a mushrik. But later on, when he converted to Islam, he joined, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam let him join the battle. So as I was saying, if we're doing the right thing, looking at the history of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam confirmed that we don't need the support from anyone. We don't need the support from anyone. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fought in the battle of Badr, and who won the battle? Rasulullah, and they were the minority. But the battle of Uhud, who won the battle? Rasulullah, and they were the minority. And in the battle of Ahzab, who won the battle? Rasulullah, and they were the minority. And there we go. In every battle, including the battle of Hunayn, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was fighting against around 20,000 people, and he was only 12,000. They were still the minority. And those people, they really have skills and they're well prepared. And they won the battle. In the battle of Mu'tah, they were 3,000 against 200,000. And they won the battle. This is the Ummah of Islam. In the battle between Al-Arsalan and those Romans, you know, they were 16,000, the Muslims. And the enemies, they were around 600,000. And Muslims won the battle. There we go. If you check the history of Islam, this is all like that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمَّ اسْتَطَعْتُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَمِنْ رِبَاطِ الْخَيْرِ. Said to the believers, just prepare what you can do. The rest is Allah's job. And subhanAllah, because of their faith and their iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala led them, subhanAllah, attain the victory in any battle they go. But nowadays, is that the case? No. SubhanAllah, it's not the case. In every Muslim territories, you see, people try to make sure that they seek the help of their enemies. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they even stretched their hand to help. He said, no. We appreciate what you're doing, wanting to support us, but we don't seek the help of somebody who is not one of us in our affairs. That's izzah. Izzun nafs. We don't seek the help of somebody who is not one of us in our affairs. وَالْحَدِيثُ مِنْ أَدِلَّةِ مَنْ قَالَ لَا يَجُوزُ الْإِسْتِعَانَةُ بِالْمُشْرِكِينَ فِي الْقِتَالِ وَهُوَ قَوْلُ طَائِفَةٍ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ. This hadith is the evidence, you know, to support the statement of that person who says it is not halal for the Muslim to seek the support and the help of the mushrikeen fil qital, in the battle. Because the mission and the objective and the goal is different. It's different. You get it? وَهُوَ قَوْلُ طَائِفَةٌ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْإِلْمِ. This is the statement of some scholars. وَذَهَبَ الْهَدْوِيَّةُ أَبُو حَنِيفَةَ وَأَصْحَابُهُ إِلَى جَوَازِ ذَلِكَ فَقَالُوا لِأَنَّهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ اسْتَعَانَ بِصَفْوَانَ بْنِ أُمَيَّةَ يَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ وَاسْتَعَانَ بِيَهُودِ بَنِي قَيْنُقَى. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abu Hanifa and some other scholars, you know, they said it is okay to seek the help of kuffar if there is a need to that. And they said because there is a case of Safwan ibn Umayyah, and this one during the battle of Hunayn, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam seek his help. I believe this is the one that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because he sells weapons. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam borrowed weapons from him. He borrowed weapons from him. So since now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam defeated the Meccans, you know, so he got scared. He said, "Aghasban ya Rasulullah, are you taking it by force?" The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Bal aritum madmuna." Aghasban aritum madmuna. He says, "Is it something that you are just using force to take it by force from me, or you are borrowing, which you are responsible to take it, to bring it back to me?" The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Bal ariyatun madmuna." He said, "We are just borrowing." So they took the weapons from him and they used it in the next battle, which is the battle of Taif. And also they said, "Ista'ana bi yahud bayni qaynuqa." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a case when he sought the help of the Yahud of Banu Qaynuqa. قال استعان بيهود بين قينقاع ورضخ لهم أخرجه أبو داود في المراسيل وأخرجه الترمذي. قال الذهبي لأنه كان خطأ في okay this is talking about شبهة in the hadith. So والله أعلم, the best opinion is that we don't share our affairs with them. Okay, we don't share our affairs with them, except if it is really necessary. There is no any other way out to avoid it. That's why he says, وَقَالَ الْمُصَنِّفُ, Ibn Hajar, the author of the Bulugh al-Maram, said, وَيُجْمَعُ بَيْنَ الرِّوَايَاتِ بِأَنَّ الَّذِي رَدَّهُ يَوْمَ بَادِرٍ تَفَرَّسَ فِيهِ الرَّغْبَةُ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ فَرَدَّهُ رَجَاءَ أَنْ يُسْلِمَ فَصَدَقَ رَجُلٌ. Uh, So the Ibn Hajar said, we can combine between the narrations to say that that person who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the day of Badr, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not accept him. They said most likely Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam anticipated that this person might accept Islam. So he doesn't want him to participate first and enjoy, which might delay his conversion to Islam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted him to accept Islam first, and this is what happened. And I see this a bit far, but this is what is mentioned by Ibn Hajar. وَأَنَّ الْإِسْتِعَانَةَ كَانَتْ مَمْنُوعَ فَرَخَّصَ فِيهَا وَهَذَا أَقْرَبُ. Or in the past, it used to be haram, but then later on, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before the Fatuh Makkah, or during the Fatuh Makkah, he made it permissible. During the Fatuh Makkah, he made it permissible. وَقَدْ إِسْتَعَانَ يَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ بِجَمَاعَةٍ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ تَأَلَّفَهُمْ بِالْغَنَائِمِ اشْتَرَطَ الْهَادَوِيَّةُ أَنْ يَكُونَ مَعَهُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ يَسْتَقِلُّ بِهِمْ إِمْضَاءَ الْأَحْكَامِ. He says the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also during the Battle of Hunayn, he let a group of the mushrikeen to join the battle. You know, whoever studied the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was leaving Mecca from the Meccans, you know, and from people who are in that place, when they know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is heading towards Taif, there are some people who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they asked him, they wanted to join Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he let them join. So that's why, if there is a need for that, and the need is, the maslaha is better, then yes, rather than letting the Muslim to get into trouble, you know, you can accept that. But we just have to be very careful, because these ones, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they don't come with good intention. Yeah. They come and now they know that yes, we are dependent and relying upon them. That's weakness. That's number one. And who knows, tomorrow they will be the controllers of our affairs. And we have to submit, because they know we cannot do it by ourselves. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq. قال وعن ابن عمر أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رأى امرأة مقتولة في بعض مغازيه فأنكر قتل النساء والصبيان. Abdullah ibn Umar said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he saw a woman in a narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw a woman مقتولة بالطائف in the battle of Taif. فقال the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam نهى عن قتل النساء. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said nobody is allowed to kill sisters and the children. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw her being killed in the battle of Taif, he said alam anha an qatl an nisa man sahibuha. Faqala rajul ya rasulullah ardaftuha fa aradat an tasra'ani fataqtulani faqataltuha fa فَأَمَرَ بِهَا أَن تُوَرَى. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, who killed this woman? مَنْ صَاحِبَهَا? Who is the one who killed her? One of the companions said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm the one who did. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, what happened was, I left her behind. I saw her. Then I just left her. But then she took the weapon, she came. She started fighting, trying to kill. So they realized that if I just submit to the command that I shouldn't kill, she will kill me. So he said, I fight back. And it ended up by she getting affected and she lost her life. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not blame him. And this is why the scholar said, if she fights, all the children come to the battle and they have also weapons and they're fighting. Yeah, Muslims cannot just fold their arms and watch them doing what is wrong in the Muslims. So when the sister comes to the place with weapons and she's fighting together with the enemy, then she is one of the fighters. Yeah, they have to treat her the same thing. They have to treat her in the same way. Otherwise, whenever they wanted to affect the Muslimin in a battle, they would come with the sisters and the kids, you know, and put them in front. They know Muslims cannot do anything. Yeah. So in Islam, as long as they're fighting, then you fight them back. But as long as they don't fight, they just feed their people, give them water to drink, you know, support the one who is sick, you know, amongst them. You just leave them with their affairs. قال وأن سمرة قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اقتلوا شيوخ المشركين واستبقوا شرخهم. This hadith is weak, but in it the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was mentioned to have said اقتلوا شيوخ المشركين. You are supposed to be dealing with the shiuch. Please switch off the... Thank you. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اقتلوا شيوخ المشركين والشيخ. He commanded that if they go to the battlefield, they are supposed to be focusing on the shuyukh, meaning the matured and the big people. Not the old people who cannot do anything. Yeah. Those ones they should be left. وَالشَّيْخُ مَنْ اسْتَبَانَتْ فِيهِ أَسِّنُّ أَوْ مَنْ بَلَغَ خَمْسِينَ سَنَةً أَوْ إِحْدَى وَخَمْسِينَ سَنَةً كَمَا فِي الْقَامُوسِ وَالْمُرَادُ هُنَا الرِّجَالُ الشُّبَّانُ أَهْلُ الْجَلْدِ وَالْقُوَّةِ عَلَى الْقِتَالِ. According to the language, they call a person sheikh if he reaches 50 years. Yeah, when you reach 50 years, then you're sheikh. When you reach the 50 years, you are sheikh. إِحْدَى وَخَمْسِينَ أَوْ خَمْسِينَ 50 years or 51 years. وَالْمُرَادُ هُنَا الرِّجَالُ الشُّبَّانُ أَهْلَ الْجَلْدِ. But هُنَا, in this hadith, he is not referring to the shiukh, the old people. He's referring to those people who have ability to fight. So when he says اُقْتُلُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, meaning focus on اُقْتُلُ الشِّيُّخَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, focus on the matured people, people who can fight. Yeah. So if you go to the city and you see an old man who cannot fight, we are not supposed to deal with him at all. Yeah. Just like the way you are not supposed to fight the sisters, you are not also supposed to fight the old people who cannot fight. So as I said, the whole issue about battles and fightings in the Muslim territory is that we focus on who? The fighters. Those people who are fighting. People who don't fight, you stay away from them. قال والمراد هنا الرجال الشبان أهل الجلد أو الجلد أهل الجلد والقوة على القتال ولم يرد الحرمة. He says what is meant by the shuyukh here are the people who can fight. They have the ability, they have the power to fight. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said wastabqu sharhahu. And he asked us to stay away from kids, the children. So he focus on the matured people who can fight and who are fighting, but he stay away at the same time from the younger ones. قال وعن علي رضي الله عنه أنهم تبارزوا يوم بدر. So one of the system followed by the Muslimin, which is actually part of the culture in the past, that when they fight, they start with the Mubaraza first. You know Mubaraza? Mubaraza means you have armies, two group of armies, they're facing each other. So rather than just colliding, they start with some individuals. They threaten, they talk, and the way they provoke, you know. And then one of them will just come out, looking for somebody to come and fight him. So somebody from the other side also will come. The rest will watch. Yeah, they do that, and it's very dangerous because usually the one who comes out, they are the smartest people and the most skillful people in the army. And so when they got affected, it might affect the strength and the power of the army. The army might not be able to do well because of this. Get the idea. So they usually do the Mubaraza first, and then they come and collide and fight. So Ali bin Abi Talib said, أَنَّهُمْ تَبَارَزُوا يَوْمَ بَدْرٍ. During the Battle of Badr, they do the Mubaraza first, before they start fighting. And this is when Ali bin Abi Talib and Hamza, and also Ubaidah ibn al-Harith. They came out, and actually before they come out, Shayba ibn Rabi'ah, Utba ibn Rabi'ah, Walid ibn Utba, la'anahumullah. All of these kuffar who lost their life in kufr, they are the first people who came from the side of the kuffar, and they're looking for somebody to come and fight them. So at first, three people from the Ansar came out to fight. Three people from the Ansar came out to fight. But then those people, Shayba and Utba ibn Rabi'ah, these two people, Shayba and Utba, and Walid ibn Utba, you get it? These three people, they said, no, we are here to fight those people who ran away from us. Not you guys. We don't want to fight you. They said they don't want to fight Ansar. We're here to fight the people who left our place and committed crime or whatever they said at that time. So that's the reason why Hamza went out. Ali ibn Abi Talib went out. These are the warriors among the Muslims. They mess with the wrong person, right? So Hamza came and Shayba ibn Rabi'ah came. So they mention in the history, in short moment, Hamza got rid of the one who he was fighting. And Ali ibn Abi Talib also got rid of his partner. So Shayba is not having the skills in the way these two have. So he fought. And it ended by both are injured badly. And then Hamza and Ali rush and supported Shayba. Supported Ubaidah ibn al-Harith. They supported him to get rid of that other person. He did a good job, but not in the way Hamza and Ali ibn Abi Talib did. والحديث دليل على جواز المبارزة وإلى ذلك ذهب الجمهور وذهب الحسن البصري إلى عدم جوازها وشرط الأوزاعي والثوري وأحمد إذن الأميري. So these are all technical issues that are related to the army. You get an idea. These are technical issues that are related to the army. That's why most of the scholars said it's okay. You know, in the battlefield, just one of the soldiers to just go out. You know, somebody might say is committing suicide. Yeah, because when you go together, the possibility and the chances for you to survive is more than when you are alone. Yeah. So some scholars said, no, it is only permissible when the imam permits. Yeah, they should wait for the permission from the imam. When the imam said yes, then it's okay. So these are technical matters. You leave them with the soldiers in the battlefield. They decided to go for it. That's up to them. They want to just attack. You know, because theoretically, you might decide things here. But when it goes to the battlefield, they might change the tactics. That's why when somebody legalized the chess, because they said it helps during the battles. My question is, which army is using chess skills when they go to the reality, you know? Yeah, it's just a game. You want to make it halal, just make it halal, but then justify it because you believe that the soldier, it helps to have skills in war. So battle of what? Chess, right? So these matters, we read them in the book, but they're supposed to be read in the army barrack so that they can get the ahkam. So I guess in every Muslim place, they have these durus, you know, so that they can get what Islam wants them to know and how they can be different from the enemies when it comes to battles. Because we have a system to follow, even when we are angry. Not like them. They have no system to follow. Let's just get anyone. You know, I was watching a documentary. Some of them are confessing during the war in Iraq. You know, subhanAllah. He says, we just kill. Just kill. Yeah. That's why I said they just bring prodigals, stupid people, people who are drunkards, you know. They just come to our territories and just kill anyone. Who died more in Afghanistan? Who died in Iraq? Who died in all of these places? Who has been dead? Look at Syria. Look at all of these places. The innocent one. What happened to the combatants? Most likely none of them is affected. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. So I guess this is the best place to stop. Yeah, the next class, we're still dealing with this. Bab is quite lengthy, but inshallah, soon we'll be done with it and then with the topic of the jizya. And then we will go to the peace. Yeah, we will start with race. Yeah, that's quite interesting, inshallah. Okay, may Allah grant you good and tawfiq and be with all of us. Innahu bi kulli jamilin kafil. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Oh, no question. You have? They have.
Barakalafikum, Sheikh. Question from Faiza. Assalamu alaikum, Doctor. How do we relate the advices Rasulullah gave about protecting women and children and not seeking help from the mushrik with the present situation in the Arab countries?
That's very unfortunate that these things are going on in that place. And that's why if you see the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he banned people from going against the leaders and protesting against them. There are many ways for you to advise rather than creating chaos in the community. And if you look at the history, these type of approaches never succeeded. Yeah, never succeeded. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to be patient. You know that he knew that in the future there will be leaders who are bad leaders. Prophet ﷺ talked about that. He said even some of them, they beat you and they take your wealth. What does that mean? Are they committing justice when they beat you and take your wealth? No. He said they will do this, they will do that. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, can we fight back? You know, because they are also human beings. They said, Ya Rasulullah, can we fight back? He said, no, don't. Do not fight. As long as prayer is being established amongst you, do not fight back. He said, just ask Allah to protect you right. He said, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you right. So my responsibility, your responsibility, and all of us, you know, our responsibility is to make sure that we give nasiha to the leaders, to the authority, using the best way, the best method, rather than going to the newspaper, going to the YouTube and social media, shouting, you know, crying out, which will not bring any difference or any change, you know. Yeah, it will not bring any change. Go and advise them. Try your best to see how to go to the place and advise them. Nice advice. Sit with them. Have a secret meeting with them. They listen. Don't say no, they will not listen. Try first and see. And even if they don't listen, you know, maybe they don't see what you are saying. And maybe you don't see what they see. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, give them their right and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala your right. So you know what happens in those areas, right? Yeah, it started and people call it peaceful movement and all of these things, but you see, we lost Libya almost completely. We lost Yemen, we lost Syria, and many places, you know. And some places that we don't lose them completely, what happened is that, you know, the situation is worse than the situation before the protest. Everyone will tell you this. People are not happy, life is tough, which before it used to be a bit peaceful. So I really advise us to study the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Stick to the Sunnah. Be patient. Wallah, it is very nice to see a person who is very concerned, you know, of the leaders and making dua for them and trying his best to see how to get to reach them, to advise them. Yeah, let them know that there are people who knows that things are not going in the right way. Maybe nobody amongst the people surrounding them is telling them the truth. By the time you manage to go, you tell them what exactly is going on. They will listen. Don't say it will not happen. You know, just do. At least you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything is fine. So that's the best example, you know, to be given when it comes to the evil consequence of not following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in dealing with the authorities. Yeah. May Allah grant us tawfiq and good.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, ya Sheikh.
Assalamu
alaikum. Ahsanallahu ilaykum fi dunya wa akhirah.
Wa ilaykum.
What if we are led by those who do not understand the sharia, but they are Muslims? If they, meaning the imam, did wrong ijtihad to attack, will the one who carry out to be accountable for following order to attack where there will be Muslims be killed to attack the criminals?
It depends. If, let's say this is ijtihad, in the case of the Tatarrus, they're shielded by those villages among the Muslims, and the Imam is following the opinion that says, we don't have any choice, we just have to. They can go for this. But if it is clearly haram in Islam, they are not supposed to follow, even if they are soldiers. They are supposed to resist. Don't fight him, but resist. Don't execute the thing. Yeah, because fighting the leader, the commander, is tragedy. Yeah, they're going to bring fitna in the army and they will never win. Yeah. But if they know that what he is asking them to do is haram, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا الطَّاعَةُ فِي مَعْرُوفٍ. Get it? That person who told his people to go and get inside the fire because they annoyed him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if they do that, they will remain in fire forever. إِنَّمَا الطَّاعَةُ فِي مَعْرُوفٍ. The only obedience that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to have is when you are asked to do something which is right. Yeah, when you are asked to do something which is right. Yes.
If we are in a Muslim country where political landscape has Muslims political party has collaboration with the kuffar, what should we do to address this matter?
Advise them. Yeah, just advise them. Just advise them, do everything possible to show them the danger of it. And first, you should study first why this comes. Since you have heard that there is an opinion that says it's okay if there is a need to seek the help of the non-Muslim territories. So you see that there is a need to do that. And here, don't forget, we're talking about battles and wars. Other types of support and help and cooperation, this one is okay. Yeah, you can buy from Kafir, you can buy from Yahud, you can sell to Yahud, you can... Yeah, that's okay, that's day-to-day life. A country, Muslim country can cooperate with a Kafir country, in buying and selling and, anything that is beneficial to them in the dunya things. We're just talking about matters of battles. Can you have your army support, their army supporting you, your army supporting their army, that kind of cooperation. As for the other cooperation, buying, selling, trading, business, it's not all okay. You get it? We send our people to them to train them in medicine or some of the scientific things, that's okay. Anything that is dunya which doesn't affect our, the cooperation with them doesn't affect our deen, is fine for us to go with them. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam deal with the non-Muslims next to him. Yeah, he buys from them, he sells to them, So we also can do that. That's halal. No problem with that. Sure. Okay, thank you very much. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good and tawfiq and be with you wherever you are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.